How to grow any account sales using the predictable customer acquisition model.
Thank you, Dimitri. Today, we've got an exciting topic that's sure to benefit all you sales enthusiasts out there.
Let's dive in. If you are part of a sales team and you're trying to grow sales for your account or for your customer's account, for your channel's account, it doesn't matter. If your job is to increase revenues and to grow account as a whole, this video is going to be very helpful to you. So over the years, I've worked with hundreds of different teams and CEOs and marketing departments. We've been through millions of dollars in marketing spend, and we see usually red lights of what's missing and what do you need as a recipe to get results fast. So when you get on a call and you have a few people, maybe it's a CMO, maybe it's the marketing team in general, it could be 10 people in the meeting, or you could be just talking to one person. And at the end of the day, if they want more sales, this is the process you want to take them through.
That sounds invaluable. I know our audience is eager to learn more. You've outlined a 10-question checklist, and I'd love to dive into that.
This is 10 questions that can help you. You can just download it as a checklist, write it down to you, but let's start going one by one. So question number one, who is your customer? This is what you're going to ask them. They're going to probably tell you, oh, everybody's a customer, or we sell to 20 different target audiences. No, no, no. Ideally, you want to have a campaign or a growth strategy around one product, one offer, one customer. So if it's a multiple prong, there's literally multiple solutions and multiple customers, it's fine, but you're going to go through this checklist with each and every one of them if you want to be effective and grow sales. But you want to ask, who is your customer? And let's say, as an example, they're going to be saying, okay, let's pick a state and local government, IT decision makers, so chief information officer, security officer, so one of the C-suites. Okay, great.
Great advice. Moving on to question number two.
What is your product? Now, they're going to say, oh, we have this and this. And sometimes you're going to catch them going on a 20-minute tangent, and they still don't answer the question. You're going to be like, okay, so what is your product? And let's say in this case, we're going to focus on specific product, which is high-volume data migration at edge. For example, you have remote locations like an oil rig, or let's say it's a ship, or any remote location that needs to transfer, even if it's a movie in New Zealand, for example. They need to shoot a lot of data to California. Guess what? Google Drive is not going to work. And it needs to be secure. It needs to be fast.
So what are they going to do in this situation?
In this case, let's say the solution is high volume data migration at edge, right? It's very specific. It's not talking about in general cloud migration. It's not talking about healthcare or education, right? It's specific. And maybe the promise is transfer the data at 7x the speed, right? Which is, again, very tangible and very good. You may not have that, but this is an example of what a good product description is, right? Okay, you have a very specific outcome here. If you have a problem, this is the outcome, 7 times faster.
That specificity makes a lot of sense.
Question number three, what is the offer? Now, they're going to say, okay, we want to sell them, right? But nobody's going to jump on the meeting and immediately start buying. So people go through steps. We cover those in different videos. But for the purposes of this training, you want to drive them to a specific thing, right? So it's who is the person? What is it they're looking for? And what do you want them to do?
So is it an assessment? A demo?
In many cases, it's a tough sell because demo means they're going to be sold to in many cases. So they want to kick the tires and read some stuff and learn and educate themselves before they go on the demo call. So if you can give them proof of concept, that's what the POC stands for.
So what is proof of concept?
How do you show them results in advance? Maybe they need to spend a little bit of money. Maybe you have some free savings calculator for the data transfer, right? Let's say you're using this now. Just enter your data. Oh, look, you're going to save thousands of dollars, right? So it just sells itself. Maybe it's a self-assessment they will take, but you want to take them to an easy starting step before they're going to say, okay, I'm ready to buy. Okay, so what is the offer?
Got it. Then what's question number four?
What is your one customer value, right? So let's say in this case, this is data migration at edge. And let's say this customer is worth $25,000. So if they buy, it's a $25,000 sale. Great, you have a number. Now, the follow-up question to that is, what is your customer retention? So on average, when customers buy, how long do they stay for?
Why would that matter?
Well, if the customer stays for 5 years and you sell them only once in the beginning, it's actually 60 months retention, right? It's not just a 1 month sale or 1 year sale. So it's important to understand the value of that customer to your account. So you know, well, what are we talking about? And it's going to make sense in a second. And so let's say in this case, the customer retention is 5 years. Okay, so let's do some basic math. So the actual customer value in this case is $25,000 per year for 5 years retention, right? So on average, let's say if it's SaaS, 3 years to 5 years is generally acceptable in the commercial space. As soon as you step into the government space, it's tougher to sell it to the government. But once it's there for 5 years, for 7 years, for 10 years. So it's tough to rip it out. Usually the harder it is to sell, the harder it is to rip out. So you want that retention. That's why government contracts are so lucrative, because it's volume and it's continuous volume, right? So it's dependable income. So in this case, one customer is $125,000 per customer. Great. If you don't have those specific and they say, we don't know, I mean, one customer is 50K, one is 100, one is 5K, you're going to say, okay, so the rough estimate, let's divide what did you make last year? Let's say it's $10 million. How many customers did you have? Let's say it's 10. Okay, so each customer is worth $1 million, right? So just a rough calculation, divide the income by the number of customers you had last year. So again, roughly, at least it gives you some kind of a benchmark.
Right? This is where we put a monetary value on the customer. Customer retention is indeed crucial.
Let's move on. What is your annual sales goal, right? So let's say you're mid-year, this is the last quarter. What's the goal of this campaign? But in general, you want to plan for 4 quarters. It just gives you more benefits, which we'll cover later. But let's say they say, okay, we want to hit 5 million sales, 10 million, 100 million. The number doesn't matter. All you want is to have a number, because you're going to say, we want to get as many sales as possible. That's not clear, because if you're going to start executing and start helping, is it working? Well, no. Well, yes, right? We don't know, because they may be getting sales, but it's not all the sales. So you want to have a number. So let's say they want 5 million in sales. Excellent.
What happens then?
Now, basic math again. How many customers do we need to hit that number? So to hit 5 million in sales, if the customer value is 125K, that's 40 customers, right? Great. So if we get 40 customers sold, we get 5 million, right? Very trackable. Now, the question that many will not answer to you based on my experience, but the best in class do, if they don't know, your job is to help them figure that out. So what is the cost of getting one customer? What is the customer acquisition cost, CAC? So let's say the number here is $10,000, right? We can, again, discuss different numbers, but let's just say this is 10K. So what do we need now to make sure that the plan we put together and that the budget is on track?
So what needs to happen?
So if it costs us 10K and we need 40 customers, that's $400,000 in marketing spend or advertising spend or whatever you decide to do with it. So you need 400K to achieve 5 million in sales. That's 12.5 ROI. I mean, people will do that all day long. That's phenomenal return. And again, that's one of the reasons why government contracts is so lucrative. Now, 10,000, I've seen this number way below that, and I've seen this number way above that. So it's up to you to figure that out, but that's a decent number to start with, because you can test many different options to see where you can land the customer. If the rebuttal is, you said it's $25,000 per year for a customer, but for 5 years, it's 125, but we don't calculate it this way. We just see it as the 1 year sale. Great, fine. Now, in this case, instead of 40, you're going to have to do 200 sales, right? And to get the $5 million, still doable. So you need $2 million now to get the 5 million. So again, it's 2.5. Return instead of 12.5, right, 5x, but it's still profitable no matter how you spin it. I mean, it still works. But actually, this is the more true story, because you sell them only once. If they say we don't measure it annually, you should, because if you sell to a customer once, which is the hardest thing, you need to educate them, to chase them, right, to close them, to make sure they're onboarded and they stay happy. And it's 5 times easier to sell to an existing customer an additional product or an upsell to an existing product than to go chase a new customer, because you're building trust all over again, right? You're basically resetting the process. So it's very lucrative. That's why SaaS companies are evaluated at 5, 8, 10x the revenue because of the sticky rate, right? The stickiness.
That's true. Knowing how much it costs to acquire a customer helps in budget allocation and ensures a positive return on investment.
Okay, let's move on. Now that we have the numbers, which will get you probably 99% further than most teams or companies even go, because it's some thinking, right? You need to go and look at data and, oh, we don't know if it's the sales department job, right? Who's getting the lead? Sometimes it's such a mess and we see hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars just wasted, right? Oh, let's do this campaign. Hope it's going to work. No numbers behind it at all. Just, you know, shoot and pray. But look, I mean, the ad is great. We get a lot of likes, and so it must be a success, but no sales at the end of the day.
How to avoid that from happening?
So if you want to avoid that, if you want to make sure your campaigns are producing, you want to align with the teams on what are the metrics, how we're going to measure them. And so which activities specifically do we need to get those sales? So typically it goes, again, a few channels only. So it's either events, right, which we cover the different types of activities, which one you should start with, how much each one costs. But You could do events, paid marketing, advertising, you can do content, or you could do partnerships, like collaborations with somebody or channel sales, right? You're not building sales from scratch, you're already tapping into somebody's relationship. But regardless of the channel, right, you can just split, let's say, your marketing budget into four different avenues and say, okay, we're going to test if you don't know. We're going to put quarter of the money on the channel, we'll put quarter of the money on the content, quarter on paid, and quarter on events. And within a quarter or within a year, we're going to see which one performed the best and each one have pros and cons. But at least you have a plan.
What are you going to do to get those numbers?
Do we have a plan to achieve it? Because they're going to be like, great, we have the numbers. Let's start executing. What are we executing on? So is there a timeline for the burn, right? The money is, let's say, now we have $2 million or $400,000 in marketing spend. It's not going to be spent in months, right? It's going to be spent through the year. How is it going to be allocated? Which campaign?
What does it need for it to be achieved?
So ideally, you want a calendar, a simple spreadsheet with a burn, right? How much spend goes where, which activities, and what are the measurables? Are you expecting to get leads? Are you expecting to get subscribers, demos? What are you shooting for? What's the outcome? So if you have the plan, you need the quarterly breakdown. You need to look at it as often as possible. We've seen many times that companies say, okay, we have the strategy. Let's do $250,000 in marketing spend for the year. They deploy it. They basically set it and forget it. Are we running?
Yes.
Are we on time?
Yes.
And then they check in October or November, and then, you know, they see 11 red lights, and then, you know, the money's wasted.
So they learn for the next year.
But that could have been avoided, right? You could learn that within a quarter, so you don't have to pay another year of, you know, your team burning resources to know what we already know. Let's move on. The next things you should do, so after number 10, this is the final question. So do we have a plan? If you have the quarterly breakdowns, tracking activities and results, now your question basically, if it's running and you're measuring, let's take this example for a $10,000 customer spend. So if it's $10,000, let's break it even further. So what needs to happen? So what are you converting? Let's say to get that one sale.
How many demos do you need to run?
So let's say it's 1 out of 10. You're closing one customer out of 10 demos. Great. So if you pay $10,000 for one sale and you need 10 demos, that basically each demo is $1,000 per demo, right? So if somebody would come to you and say, hey, would you buy $1,000 per demo of a qualified customer? That would be a yes to you all day long. As long as the customer is qualified, they're coming in and you close 1 out of 10. Great. Now you can work on closing 2 out of 10 or 3 out of 10 or 4 out of 10, right? We've seen even 7 out of 10. Depends on the product and what strategies your teams are using. Now, another way to look at it. So how do you get a demo basically? So the $1,000 demo. So how do you get those? So again, whether it's an event, whether it's a partnership or content play, but at some point, I mean, the fastest way to validate is some paid traffic. You could deploy, let's say, $1,000 on ad spend, and you're going to get some clicks, right? There's some best-in-class numbers that we are publishing. So there's some benchmarks that you should look for and be like, okay, I'm way below the benchmark, so my ads are bad. But if the numbers are good on the ads, then the digital is fine. Basically, you can look at each piece of the funnel to see what needs to be tweaked. But $1,000 per demo, is it what, 100 downloads of your assessment or checklist, right? Is it just 100 or 1,000 clicks? So let's say for $1 a click, you can get 1,000 clicks. Maybe one person out of 1,000 will register for that demo, and that's your play, right? Just $1,000 demo play, 10,000 on paid spend.
And if it works, then great.
So all you need is, in the beginning, at least one validated source that gets your customers, and then you can start building on top of it. But if you're chasing 11 things at once, it's possible, but it's like trying to take off 11 planes at once, right? The idea is you lift off in one plane, put it on autopilot, it's running. Now you can, you know, take a parachute, climb down, take another plane, and on and on and on, instead of, you know, 11 at the same time. So conversion optimization is the game here to see if it's an event. Let's say you spend $10,000 on an event. Okay, how many leads did you get? How many calls did you follow through with that? Is there a sequence to play? And at the end of the day, out of the $10,000 spent, did you get something? Or what did you get? And so within a very quick few iteration cycles, you could see, oh, you know, these channels are not even performing for us, but this other thing we didn't even suspect, right? Maybe your podcast or it's content repurposing. Maybe you have a lot of content, but, you know, it's an hour webinar.
Who's going to watch an hour-long webinar today?
Maybe a few people who are very, very interested, but way down the funnel. But how do you chop it into 50 different things? Maybe put some spinning or some animation on it and make short. So you can repurpose that content and start being top of mind. Again, if it's valuable, if it's helping your customers, if it's educating them, sort of like this video, you're getting yourself educated on, hey, this is what it takes to take an account, to sit down with a Mr. CEO and say, hey, do we have this? And if it's not, in many cases, it's not, they go back, they do some homework, or you at least deploy, say, okay, let's do one test, one campaign, one customer, let's take it to the, you know, for a quarter, let's run it, and then we see. So at least you minimize resources. If your numbers are green, I mean, you need to see which part didn't perform so you can work on that part. Maybe it's just more money. Maybe it's just more time. Maybe the, you know, the sales are dropping the ball, or maybe it's the marketing. You know, there are many ways to troubleshoot this. If you're planning on something, you're not sure how to put it together, reach out. If not, I hope your accounts double and triple this year. Good luck to you. See you in the next one.
Thank you, Dimitri, for today's insights. Go to www.publicsectorleadgeneration.com for more and get ready to get more leads.